Now, the Sunday Spin continues on 720 WGN. Here's Rick Pearson.
Good Sunday morning, everyone. Welcome to the second hour of the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Showcase studio on Tribune Tower on this glorious celebratory Sunday morning. We're playing some moments of the highlights and or lowlights of the final debate between Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump and Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton. And I think one of the telling moments of the debate came when Donald Trump said that he wouldn't necessarily accept the results of the election. Later he said he would, but only if he won. Here's Hillary Clinton's response.
That is not the way our democracy works. We've been around for 240 years. We've had free and fair elections. We've accepted the outcomes when we may not have liked them. And that is what must be expected of anyone standing on a debate stage during a general election. You know, President Obama said the other day, when you're whining before the game is even finished, it just shows you're not up to doing the job. And let's be clear about what he is saying and what that means. He is denigrating. He's talking down our democracy. And I, for one, am appalled that somebody who is the nominee of one of our two major parties would take that kind of position.
Now, meanwhile, Trump is trying to lay out a closing days case for being elected. And that includes pledging to create a better national economy, and he features that in a new TV ad.
Our economy once dominated the world, and our middle class thrived. Today, jobs are gone. Factories closed. Because of bad trade deals pushed by the Clintons that sent our jobs to other countries. Donald Trump's plan, renegotiate NAFTA, stop foreign nations from cheating us, cut taxes to reopen factories. Donald Trump knows business, and he'll fight for the American worker.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
That's Donald Trump's latest ad. Well, joining me now on the show is my good friend John McCormick, political reporter for Bloomberg News, former colleague of mine at the Chicago Tribune. John, thanks for getting up with me this morning.
Good morning, Rick. It's always an honor to be on with the dean of the Chicago Political Press Corps.
Oh, please. All right, here we go back to the age thing again. Why do people keep doing that to me?
It's good to be the dean.
It is?
Yeah, why not?
What are the perks?
Respect and honor.
Okay, how much do I owe you?
A couple beers at the Billy Goat, maybe.
Yeah, there you go. Fair enough. Well, John, seriously, thank you so much for joining me. And I want to talk to you about a couple of things. One, I know that you had authored the Bloomberg story on the poll that Bloomberg did just before that final debate that Ann Salzer conducted for you guys. And that had a Clinton advantage 47-38 over Donald Trump. And now we're just getting word that ABC News, in its inaugural tracking poll, shows Clinton 50, Trump 38, Gary Johnson 5, Jill Stein 2. And, that's the ABC poll. But when you look at your numbers from before the debate, and you kind of wonder, and it's a subjective thing, about what did Trump do in that debate? And I think that telling line about not willing to accept the election results was really kind of a deal breaker for some people.
Yeah, I don't think the debate performance helped him in any way. And things were looking pretty dire for him going into the debate. He needed a really good night, and he did not have one. He was having an okay debate, probably one of his better performances up until that moment. But I think that does, not sit very well with a lot of voters. And the Clinton campaign and all of her surrogates just absolutely pounced on that for the following, two or three days. So he's had pretty much bad news cycles, for really a couple weeks now, and including since the debate.
Well, and Clinton pounced on it, but frankly, that was kind of the headline for, of the debate.
Absolutely. I mean, it was sort of, an extraordinary statement for him to make. I mean, it's, one of the underpinnings of American democracy that you accept the will of the voters and that there's a peaceful transfer of power. So it was pretty jarring. I mean, I was in the filing center in Las Vegas, and there were lots of audible sort of gasps when he said that.
Well, and it's kind of like, I think, frankly, all three of these debates where you kind of see, you know, there's the good Donald Trump and then there's the Donald Trump, and that Clinton showed the ability to, you know, get under his skin a little bit.
Yeah, no, she did. I mean, she's known for doing her homework. She very much did her homework for these debates. They, you know, psychologically profiled Trump. They studied ways to sort of get under his skin, and she, you know, really masterfully did that in all three debates, including this third one. You know, he does have fairly thin skin. It's not that hard to get him riled and off script.
And I think that, I mean, that ruins kind of the efforts that he tries to make to, you know, raise questions about her qualifications, her service as Secretary of State, the Benghazi, the emails, all of that kind of goes out the window by his own doing.
Yeah, no, he's had lots of self-destructive moments throughout this campaign, no question.
In your poll, what give us a couple of the more interesting takeaways that you came up with?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the headline number was 9 points, but when you drill down into the demographics of it, it's pretty you know, pretty troubling for his side. Clinton had really trailed among men throughout the summer, and we had her up by 2 points among men. So she's even doing well now with one of the demographic groups that had been her biggest challenge. Of course, she's done well with women throughout the campaign, and we had her up by 17 points among women. So that's a, you know, a huge part of her constituency, obviously. And so she's just really dominating with every demographic group. And, you know, as you mentioned, I'm an alum of the Chicago Tribune, and I remember one senior political reporter, you know, on election night, always reminding us of the famous Dewey defeats Truman headline. And so, you know, no election is over until it's over. That said, you really can't point to any hard data out there that suggests that Trump is going to win this, based on fundraising, based on polling, based on what's happening with the early voting, based on, you know, advertising footprint. So it's this poll, along with a lot of other data points, just suggests that, you know, Trump almost needs a miracle or some kind of massive, huge October or early November surprise to shake this thing up.
We're speaking with John McCormick. He's political reporter for Bloomberg News. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Go in Chicago. What do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today. Rick Pearson here on the Sunday Spin. I cannot get that song out of my head. I heard it in my dreams in the few hours sleep that I caught. Well, once again, joining me here on the Sunday Spin is John McCormick. He's political reporter for Bloomberg News, former colleague from the Tribune, a graduate of the David Yepsen School of Journalism.
Absolutely.
Is that certainly an honor? And of course, our good friend David, formerly from the Des Moines Register and director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute. And he is actually going to take retirement, although it's hard to believe Yepsen being retired from anything.
I know. I had a brief email exchange with him this week on that news, and I'm sure he'll be around. We're still going to see him on national TV, and certainly every time the Iowa caucuses come up, we'll see him. That's where I met him, of course, at the Des Moines Register.
Well, I will certainly be tapping his knowledge because I know he will be involved, and he's one of the best watchers of all things politics.
Super smart guy.
Well, we're talking about your poll that was pre-debate, and we were talked about at the debate the issue of Trump saying, refusing to say whether he'd accept the Clinton victory. And in that ABC News tracking poll that's out today, 65% of voters say they disapprove of Trump's refusal to accept the election. But one of the questions I had was, throughout the early part of this campaign, this lengthy campaign, was the question of, is there an enthusiasm gap? And one of the interesting findings in the Bloomberg poll was that Trump supporters are more enthusiastic.
Yeah, they're hardcore. I mean, he does have this base of support that is super excited about him and motivated, and I think they're going to be there. It's just a question of how high that ceiling is. It seems as if it's someplace in the sort of high 30s or low 40s. And they are enthused. They're excited about him. Clinton's supporters have, been a little bit more skeptical about her throughout this process. Although, in the end here, they're starting to rev up a little bit as well. Turnout will be important for Clinton. It's one reason why President Obama, Michelle Obama, Joe Biden, this cast of surrogates that she has are going to be out traveling extensively in these battleground states, trying to sort of gin up the excitement and rally and get people into early voting, as you talked about earlier on the show, and then into the actual polls on November 8th.
Well, and not just in the battleground states, but it's like for Clinton, she sees an expanded map because of potential down ballot races.
Yeah, absolutely, and the expansion of potential battleground states like Arizona. We don't usually think of Arizona and Georgia as battleground states, but she is putting resources there, and the fact that we're even talking about that in October is sort of amazing. She's starting to pivot a little bit more, to those down ballot races and focus on them a little bit more in Pennsylvania. Yesterday, she was, very focused on the Senate race there, much more so than on her presidential rival, Donald Trump. So if they want to have a mandate, whether Congress will still, the House is almost certainly still going to be controlled by Republicans. The Senate is very much more on the bubble. But if she can help push a Democratic majority into the Senate, that would obviously be very helpful for her from a governing standpoint.
Well, like you mentioned in Pennsylvania, Pat Toomey seems to be one of those Republicans who appears to have done the proper dance to distance himself from Trump.
Yeah, he has. Although it's a hard thing to do, and Clinton, obviously sought to link him to Trump yesterday, and so that's going to be a key race to watch. The race in neighboring Indiana here is going to be a very important race to watch as well in terms of deciding who controls the Senate.
And the numbers aren't necessarily as good as they used to be for Trump over there in Indiana.
No, I mean, I haven't seen any recent polling. Maybe you have, but that we think of that as a pretty red state. My guess is that he'll carry it, but you never know if this is turning into more of a Democratic wave election.
Yeah, and plus Evan Bayh is a known quantity as the Democratic candidate for the U.S. Senate over there.
Yeah, although the Republicans have done a pretty good job of attacking his resume and business experience and ties to lobbying and so forth, and whether he's still strongly tied to the state or not. So he's come under a lot of attack, and that race is looking closer than a lot of people expected it to be.
Do you really think there, in the end, there, and this is obviously subjective, but do you think there really will be kind of a down ballot relationship, a coattail relationship on the presidential?
Not necessarily. In fact, I think some people are going to, maybe they're going to vote for Clinton, but they may vote for Republican down ballot. A lot of people do like divided government, or they're going to, there'll be some Republicans who won't vote for Trump, but they'll continue to vote for Republicans down ballot. So I think, our friend Jim Allen, who you had on earlier in the election business, they talk about something called undervoting. And I think there'll be a lot of undervoting in this election, and it's where you leave, you know, one name blank on the ballot. And so there may be a lot of people out there who don't want to vote for Trump or Clinton. Usually the presidential race has the highest proportion of people who mark that on their ballots, but in this race, it may not be the case.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to look at the exits and check about ticket splitting.
Yeah, no, I think there'll be some of that. I mean, the other thing that we're seeing that, you know, I'm a sort of a student of demographics. I study a lot of census data and demographics. And one thing you're seeing in this election, that's extremely stark is educational attainment in terms of, you know, people with the highest levels of educational attainment are voting for Clinton in overwhelming numbers. People with the lowest levels of educational attainment are voting for Trump in the highest proportions. And so that's the measure that I'm using in predicting a lot of these states in terms of how I think they may go. And so Trump is doing well in places like Iowa and Ohio that have, some of the lower levels of educational attainment. He's not doing well in a state like Colorado, which has one of the highest levels of educational attainment. There's a lot of Hispanics in Colorado as well, so that's another big variable. But that on election night, that's one sort of data set that I'm going to have at the ready is you know, how educated are these states? Because it seems to be a really good predictor this time for how the polling is going.
A great key for things to watch on election night on November 8th. John McCormick, political reporter for Bloomberg and Bloomberg News, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks, Rick.
We'll be back with more right after this.